in any time in the last 5 years, if anybody were to say that they're choosing to leave whatever business they're in and either start or buy a print publication, everybody would probably say, what are you doing? Are you crazy? You know, all these newspapers are struggling. Why would you go into this business? So absolutely, it was a risk to choose to get involved.
It's fun.
Welcome to episode 2 of the I Digress podcast. I'm Arul Chanel. Before I digress for a few about Cleveland, if you have any feedback, questions, or suggestions, please do not hesitate to email me at idigress.arul@gmail.com. That's idigress.arul@gmail.com. All right. For those of you who don't know me, I grew up in Cleveland and proudly admit that I'm a fanatic for my hometown. Like many Clevelanders, I view it more as a family member than I do a city. So this episode will be the first of a few this season that will feature some of the really cool personalities that are making a difference in and around Cleveland. In case you missed it, Cleveland's no longer the mistake by the lake. In fact, it's been repurposed and its story has been featured in many write-ups, most of which focus on the arts, sports, and culinary scenes that are sexy and a lot of fun to read about. I love the positive press, but the articles are incomplete. I'm not saying they're inaccurate, because Cleveland has developed into a badass city that people are flocking back to. But what the articles are missing is a play of the folks who haven't experienced the recent prosperity. So I came into this season of I Digress wanting to tell a more complete story. But instead of just the story of Cleveland, I feel we'd all benefit from hearing from some of the risk takers and dreamers that call Cleveland home. I want to know what they're doing to live their dreams while getting shit done for the city they love. I first heard of today's guest through Sherry Klossner, a super passionate Cleveland real estate agent. Back in June, I decided to shoot Sherry a note through LinkedIn, and a week later we met at Town Hall, which is a really fun restaurant in the Ohio City neighborhood of Cleveland. Anyway, she brought me up to speed on the developments, on what's going on around town, and then we headed out for a 3-hour tour of the up-and-coming areas, and we also looked at some of the downtrodden parts of Cleveland as well. I couldn't have asked for a better tour guide. It was really a remarkable 3 hours. I can't believe she did that for us. While we were out, Sherry told me about this guy she went to high school with that I had to talk to. He's a CEO of Cleveland Scene Magazine and is doing great things to help organize and promote events around town. Turns out he's doing a hell of a lot more than that. I'm glad she introduced me to Andrew, and I hope you enjoy his story.
My name is Andrew Zellman, and I am a Cleveland supporter. So I like to attend different events throughout the city. I like to find out what's going on. I like to help where I can in certain areas. I'd like to stay as active as I can with finding out what's going on in Cleveland and just be as involved as I can be in various aspects.
And as I mentioned earlier, Andrew sits in a really unique seat to support the town he loves.
So about 3.5 years ago, a group of us purchased Cleveland Scene Magazine, which is the local alt-weekly publication in Cleveland. So after the Plain Dealer, which is the daily publication, probably the second most prominent print publication in the city. And in that 3.5 year time, and even before that, we've done our best to cover what's going on in Cleveland, to shine a light on some topics that maybe aren't being discussed enough, to tell the stories of people that maybe are a little bit under the radar, as well as cover all the cultural aspects. So the music scene, the restaurant scene, what's going on in the arts and various other cultural aspects of the city. And, you know, we try to do our best to do that along with some other pieces that we worked on as well.
There's that old saying, do what you love and you'll never have to work a day in your life. Andrew took that to the next level.
I was working at a in a sales and marketing role at a manufacturing company, and the company was doing well, and you know, I could have stayed there, but just decided this wasn't really my passion. I wanted to do something that had more of an impact or played a bigger role in and around the city of Cleveland. At the same time, I thought the city was really showing market improvement, but had a long way to go, and I wanted to try to find some way to get involved in what I saw as a renaissance of Cleveland, but you know, play some type of role or have some interest in it. Around that time, Scene was put up for sale by the previous owner, which is a company in Pennsylvania. They decided to move on from it and got together with the current publisher, along with another group of a publisher at another market, and just decided, let's put a group together, make an investment to purchase Scene. And that was December of 2013. So about 3.5 years ago is when we bought Scene at that time.
Think about that for a minute. He left a really good, steady job to buy a print publication. That's fucking nuts. Andrew saw an opportunity.
Scene is an online publication, and we also throw events, but the main driver or the main way that people associate it with is with the print publication. And so if in any time in the last 5 years, if anybody were to say that they're choosing to leave whatever business they're in and either start or buy a print publication, everybody would probably say, what are you doing? Are you crazy? You know, all these newspapers are struggling. Why would you go into this business? So absolutely, it was a risk to choose to get involved with it. But we were willing to take that risk and saw it as not just that print publication, as kind of a few different pieces of it. And so that's why we decided, why not? Let's see what we can do with it. We recognized that the biggest opportunities were both on the digital side and in the event side. So on the digital side, these papers, a lot of them have been around for a very long time and only had websites dating back maybe 5 or 10 years. And even in that time they had websites, they weren't updating their websites with content on a regular basis. So maybe they'd update once a week and then a couple other stories. And so around the time we bought it, or a little bit before, they started to really publish a lot more online. So in order to increase their social media following, and then in order to hopefully sell some digital advertising, you need to increase your traffic by having more content on the web and, you know, just becoming more relevant. So that was one of the first things that we definitely focused on, was we need to make sure that we're staying on top of it with all of our websites, that we're blogging and doing slideshows and doing other things to make our sites relevant and to draw eyeballs to them. And like I said, and so that was a challenge, as well as then we need to draw the social media followers based on that. And the challenge or the obstacle is that, you know, these staffs, a lot of them had been there for a very long time, and they all had that print first mindset. You know, everything goes to print. So if we have a big breaking story, we're going to wait until the paper comes out that week, and then we're going to publish it online. And so it's really a changing conversation and changing focus to say, actually, the website is what people are looking at, and the story might be old if you don't publish it right away. And so let's make sure we're not always thinking what's the best for the print publication. Now let's instead think what's the best for the overall mix of the company, and does it make sense to hold a story? And so it's really just kind of tweaking that mindset. We still want the quality of the stories and the content to be good, but it's kind of a changing way of how we deliver that.
When you think about new ideas, the innovators lead the way, then the early adopters, and so on down to the laggards. Now, a lot of traditional media has fallen into that laggard space, which is why you've seen so many papers and media companies shut down or get scooped up by other companies. But for those who have figured it out, the deep relations and reputation fostered through the years now serve as an excellent stream of content for digital and social media. And I asked Andrew to discuss Scene's strategy for staying relevant.
So, I mean, it's ever-changing because, Facebook is the big driver, but just the social sites are ever-changing. And so we have to continue to adapt based on what they're doing. But, I mean, the overall strategy is that we have to know what people are interested and when they're interested in it. And so every time you post something or you schedule something, you have to think about what is relevant and what's going to get the most interest from your audience. So It's first knowing who your audience is. It's second, you know, we may have a great art story or theater story, but we know that those stories are a little bit more niche. And while there's an audience for those, it's probably not the same audience there's going to be for a restaurant story or for a breaking news story. And so let's, you know, while we're going to try to cover all these because we want to cover a wide range of topics, we know that some of these are going to just draw a lot more interest and, you know, more clicks. So more following, more engagement than others. So, you know, when it's basically when we're publishing things and what we're choosing to promote on social media at different times. Our social media feeds are going, I'd say like 12 to 14 hours every single day. And so it's just, you know, you need to continue to put content out there that people are interested in. Otherwise, you quickly can become irrelevant.
It's pretty fascinating when you think about it. Fast news cycles, changing technology. You have to stay on top of everything. It could be almost maddening. But when you run a publication, it's their daily reality. It's kind of nuts. So what about the kid who came from a marketing background and bought a magazine? What did he want to impart on Scene?
When I came in, I was interested in obviously having an impact, but I wanted to learn from the people that had been there because there's a lot of experienced people working both in Cleveland as well as our other markets. And so it was mostly don't say anything and just listen and just learn as much as I can. You know, I was a vociferous follower and reader and interested in the things that Scene was covering, but I had no media experience. So to come in and think that I could tell people what to do or how to do things is just, just not the best way to go, not smart. And so I just tried to learn as much as I could, as quickly as I could, find out as much as I could, you know, not necessarily come in and tell people what to do. At the same time, I think that coming in from the outside in this field is not the worst thing because there's been so much change in obviously the print publication world, but also just in the media world. And so to come in without that, I would say bias or, perspective of this is the way we've been doing things for a long time gave me a little bit more of a fresh perspective to say, well, you know, we don't have to do it this way because we've always done it this way. And so I hope that, you know, some of the things I've brought have been a little bit of some changes and a little different perspective of not always needing to do things the way that they've always been done.
Obviously, as is the case with any change, when you see that in a business, not every employee is going to go along with it, and there's going to be difficulties at times. But when you look at the quality content and work being produced and the sheer volume of it, Scene has created a really compelling voice. Andrew has been in charge for a few years now, so I wanted to know what his relationship's been like with Cleveland and how's it changed.
I'd say it's two separate. So I'd say it's the relationship I had with Cleveland before I got involved with Scene and the relationship after. And the relationship before was of, like I said earlier, of a huge supporter, almost teetering on the lines of like a cheerleader, to where anything that was going on, I always was looking for every bit of positive news that was happening in and around the city, a new development, a new great statistic, a restaurant opening up, something that made our sports team doing well, something that made our city shine in the right light. And I think part of it was that I hadn't been as involved in the past and didn't get to know and like see it firsthand what was happening. And then also a few years ago, Cleveland was in a way worse place than it is now. So it was like looking for these bright spots and trying to see that this revitalization was happening. And, you know, I was definitely rooting for it and saw a lot of signs of that. I think since I became involved with Scene, I'm still obviously, like I said, a huge supporter of Cleveland, but it's, you know, all these great things have happened. And now I see it as all these great things have happened, but there's so much more work to be done. And from my perspective now, whether it's with meeting people or just seeing how things are led or what's going on or, you know, how we handle certain issues, I see the gains we've made, but I also see the opportunities to do so much more. And so that's where it's not as much, I'd say, the cheerleader part of it, but more the supporter and then kind of just a little bit, you know, kind of in the middle where I'm not always going to say that this is every single thing that this leader does or this initiative or this development is going to be great, because I see it more for the entire picture and want everyone to think a little bit more globally when they're talking about Cleveland.
This year, there's a mayoral election, and it's kind of turned contentious. One of the prominent issues that I came across while researching this interview was the inequity around the city. Based on the nature of what he does, I was curious how Andrew thought things were going and where he thought improvements could be made.
So Cleveland, in a lot of ways, is a tale of two cities. On one side, for those with money or with opportunity or with the better job, things have gone really well. A lot more people have moved into the downtown core, as well as the surrounding, you know, great neighborhoods like Tremont and Ohio City and Gordon Square and some of these places that are kind of they're past up and coming because they're established now with cultural activities and restaurants and bars and things to do. And so there has been a huge improvement in terms of that. Way more people both living and coming to the city and even vacationing. And you know, we've had so many large events in the last few years, the Republican National Convention, the World Series, multiple NBA Finals. So all these great things have happened. There's been a ton of hotels that have been built. So there's been this huge amount of development. At the same time, there are so many people that live in a lot of the other neighborhoods in Cleveland that are being left out of this development. And so it's really a dichotomy of, on one hand, you have people doing really well and really enjoying the city and getting to experience the best that it has to offer. At the same time, you have plenty of people living in the city that have not had those opportunities for whatever reason. And in those areas, you have extreme amounts of poverty. You have an infant mortality rate that is really awful. Drug overdoses from the opiate epidemic, high murder rate. So it's really like, I really view it as like kind of a tale of two cities where there's all these successes that have happened, but at the same time, there are so many people that haven't been included in those successes and are still facing a lot of the same problems that the city of Cleveland has had for, you know, for 50 years. So I kind of, it's hard to say that things are going great, but it's hard to say that things are terrible either, because it's affected different people differently.
So with these thoughts in mind, how does Andrew and the staff at Scene use their platform for progress?
I view that as a couple different ways. You know, I'm not an editor or writer and have not and will not write for our paper, but our editorial staff, I think, covers those types of issues probably as good as or better than anybody else in the city. And that's the opiate epidemic, that's the crime stories, that's the schools, that's some of the issues facing the neighborhoods, local elections, city council, mayor, some of the things that people really care about that maybe aren't covered as much, what's going on in East Cleveland. At the same time, from our perspective, you know, our office is in the city of Cleveland. Every event that we have, we work with a local nonprofit. We try to shine the light on those nonprofits. We try to also editorially shine, like I mentioned before, talk about the people that maybe aren't being discussed enough. And, you know, they're not the celebrities, they're not the athletes, but they're the people really trying to make a positive change in the city. Our writers have been on the forefront of criticizing, whether it's the mayor or the city council or other politicians, when they view something as just not the best idea. Or, you know, right now there's a debate about publicly financing renovations to the arena the Cavaliers play in, and our staff has been critical of it because and I agree with them that why are we spending all this money to subsidize a billionaire when we have all these problems in and around various neighborhoods in the city? And so I'm not telling them what to write, and they all write what they want, but I think that, you know, we try to stand up for, I do, and I think that they do as well, and our publication try to stand up for people that are a little bit more forgotten and maybe either taken advantage of or not represented as well as they should be, including, I mean, our publication is a free publication and it's free online. And so hopefully, you know, people can read it and see it, and hopefully we're providing a voice for those that don't have one.
Even if you're not from Cleveland, you should check out Cleveland Scene Online. They have evolved into a really viable player, and they kind of got this nice edge to them. And they offer a voice for stories that the more traditional Cleveland Plain Dealer just doesn't cover well. So what does Andrew see in the future?
From our company perspective, it's always difficult to predict where we're going or where we're going to be at a certain amount of time, because in this new media world, you're seeing almost every day major publishers and publications are making huge changes, sweeping changes. They're letting writers go. They're putting more of a focus on video, along with digital, obviously. Print is not, you know, nobody's starting print publications. People are discontinuing them. So it's really hard to predict. From my perspective, we'd like to continue to be able to print our paper every single week. That's our goal. That's what we'd like to strive to do. We've made a lot of pushes towards the digital and the event space, and we see that as continuing to happen. I'm sure there will continue to be challenges as advertising dollars change and keep pulling away more from print and, you know, go to other spaces. And we have to be able to react to that and then be proactive as well to get out in front of some of these changes and find other ways we can make an impact digitally and then continue to push the envelope with our events and find ways to entertain people and draw interest and you know, appeal to the next generation.
How about for Cleveland?
From the city of Cleveland, I think the city overall has reached a higher level than it had been at 5 years ago, with the influx of people living in and around the downtown core. And then, like I talked about, just other advancements that we've made and thinking about different issues, but there's still a long way to go. And I think the key there is the people in leadership kind of finding ways to address some of these major problems. I think the smaller problems, some of them have been taken care of. There's not as many vacant buildings. Some of the vacant homes are being demolished. There's some of the things that we've worked through, but there's a lot of bigger problems that is really going to take some forward-thinking, smart leadership to address.
Earlier, I referenced Sherry, and she had a great analogy to explain progress in Cleveland. She said it's like tackling a to-do list. First, you start with the slightly easier or manageable projects, because they're the ones that get the ball rolling in the right direction. And then after you gain some momentum and you're kind of a little more enthusiastic because you checked off some of the list, you're better equipped to start to tackle some of the bigger things. And in Cleveland's case, that's really trying to figure out what to do about broadening inclusion and how to improve East Cleveland. So I asked Andrew how he feels Scene fits into that.
Yeah, so we mostly do it by, I'd say, covering the developments that are happening in those areas, shining a light on things when they're happening, or, you know, doing interviews or trying to cover these things that maybe aren't being talked about as much. And that includes developments in those areas and just what's happening. And then I'd say, you know, we're always looking for different places to throw events in different areas that we can try to find ways, or nonprofits in certain areas as well, that we can work with. So, you know, to try to help these places as much as we can. And I think overall, you know, a lot of people are kind of picking what that next neighborhood is. Where's the next place that's going to see this great development or influx of people and talent, and then, you know, hopefully some money and development. And I think we're getting close to a point where in a lot of the areas that have become the popular places, they're kind of getting maxed out in terms of the amount of attractions, restaurants, bars, and even some places, people that can live in these areas. So I think if the trend keeps continuing and people keep choosing to move and live in the city of Cleveland, only naturally it'll start to expand out. And you hope to fill in some of those gaps that we have currently, and for people to more people to return to the city. And that means that it's not just millennials, that means it's empty nesters and people that haven't thought about living in and around the city would have to continue to kind of strive for that.
For a young professional, I mean, you have to give it to him. He has terrific perspective. So what is he most proud of thus far?
I mean, I think it's really basic, honestly, because there was a decent chance, and not just Scene, but the other publications that we are currently own and are involved with, there was a decent chance that if we didn't come in and purchase these publications, and getting back specifically to Scene, that they wouldn't be around anymore. There's a decent chance that somebody would have potentially bought them and then sold off some of the assets, or kind of folded it into another media operation. And so, honestly, like, it's really basic. It's just the fact that it's Scene started in 1970 and is still every week we're printing paper and we're covering stories that are happening, and we're hopefully providing exposure to topics that need that exposure, or telling people stories that need to be out there. And so it's just the fact that we're still here as all these changes have happened, both in the city of Cleveland and in the media landscape, and we're still able to play that important role of, you know, being that newspaper, being that media outlet that can be flexible and cover the most important thing that people care about.
I love that story. How excellent is that? Now, I know the tone of the last few minutes may have been somewhat somber, and that's kind of been intentional. As Clevelanders, we're pragmatic. We get excited about the good times and we relish the fuck out of them. But we're also aware and respect our community and what still has to happen. And sometimes we just kind of wait for the other shoe to drop. It's just who we are. But now, it's time to relish the fuck out of the good times. Over the last few years, the town has seen some great things happen. The Cavs won an NBA final, and they posted two others. The Indians were in the World Series, and the Republican National Convention was held downtown in Cleveland. Politics aside, because quite honestly, I hate politics and what it does to people, but just imagine what that event meant for the local economy. It was a game changer. It was so huge. So of everything that's happened, I wanted to know what Andrew's favorite moment was and what he was hoping Cleveland could learn from it.
So the first thing that has to come to mind, I mean, I am a big Cleveland sports fan, so I'll have to go back to when the Cavaliers won the championship. But I actually wasn't in town. I was at the game, so I was in California when they won. But I'll go to the parade day, because I think the spirit of that day was that you had people from all over the city as well as the region coming out to just celebrate an accomplishment that Cleveland had and just be happy. And you saw people from all over, all different ages, colors, you know, ethnicities, just everybody was out in force, in mass, in the streets, having a great time. I think there was maybe one arrest or zero, and people just enjoyed themselves. It was just a joyous occasion, and you don't see that in Cleveland. You don't see this mix of people coming out and just being happy to the point of almost being delirious. And I think for me, that's the spirit of what Cleveland sometimes is and can be more often. It's just this amazing melting pot of people from all, you know, of people coming together to celebrate the city and then also to push the city to continue to be better.
So just the other day, I had a really great conversation with Tina Godfrey Hurley, who's going to be a upcoming guest on I Digress. And we started to talk about perspective and trying to find what your purpose is. And when you listen to Andrew speak, you can tell that he's found it. You can tell that he wants to do right by Cleveland, and he wants to be a part, an active part, in the improvements that take place. You know, there's this old African proverb that's been thrown around. I think it was thrown around at the Democratic National Convention by Cory Booker. And he said, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. And I think Andrew embodies this. You know, he's one of the many who has taken the risk to see that Cleveland becomes a better version of itself. And it's really a special thing. And when you think about what needs to be done to improve a big city, we need more of that. Thank you for tuning into today's episode. And I look forward to speaking to you all in a couple weeks. This episode of I Digress is edited by Matthew Pietrakowski. Music by Nuts. That's right, I said it, Nuts. A special thanks to Realtor and Tour Guide Extraordinaire, Sherry Klossner, for being so gracious with her time and passion. Thank you, Andrew, for your time, candor, and what you do for the city that we love, I'm Earl Chanel. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe on iTunes or follow us on SoundCloud. It would mean a lot.